Matthew chapter 6, let's read 18 verses. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us literally from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive, will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men, here it is, to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We have come through the fifth chapter looking at those who enter the kingdom, and then Jesus dealing with the oral traditions. You have heard it hath been said of them of old, but I say unto you, and they took the law, they attached all this oral tradition, and Jesus said, no, you know what? These things are really issues of the heart, because if you lust, if you get angry, you're already breaking God's law, and he dealt with oral tradition. So as he comes to this chapter, you know, we might say, okay, great, religion is a heart issue. There's nothing, you know, it doesn't matter what goes on outwardly. He's going to say, no, true worship is keenly expressive. True worship truly expresses itself. And he's going to use three illustrations here: giving, praying, and fasting, spiritual sacrifice. And he's going to say, no, true worship is not just a heart issue. It finds expression. It touches the world. But he's going to give some warnings. He begins by saying, take heed, and it's in the tense that is, be constantly looking out for something. Be constantly, every day, all the time, I want you watching out for something. And the reason I want you to do that, because there are consequences. People who practice their worship as hypocrites, they have their reward. And if you do this wrongly, you are forfeiting the rewards that you would have from your Father who's in heaven. There's a significant consequence. So he says, when you do these things, I want them done, but I want them done a certain way. He doesn't say, don't do alms. Religion's just an inward thing. You don't have to do anything. He doesn't say that. And he doesn't even say, don't do your giving before men. That's not what he says. He says, don't do your giving before men to be seen of them. And that's what he says in all three places. Don't do it to be seen of men. If you're going to be giving, praying, the spiritual sacrifice in your life, sometimes that's going to be before men. Sometimes you're going to be giving on the mission field. You're going to be working alongside of others. You're going to be doing spiritual things. You're going to be seen of men. But he says, but don't let your motive be to be seen of men. Don't let that be the reason you're doing it. Praying, he's not condemning public prayer, because we do that. But he's saying there are those, that's what they love. They love to pray publicly, and they don't pray privately at all. Don't let that be why you do it, to be seen of men. Fasting, spiritual sacrifice, sometimes people are going to notice that. He says, but don't do it to be seen of men. What's your motive? And that's what he comes to here in these three areas. He wants us to have pure motives because he says there's hypocrisy and hypocrites function a certain way. But true believers, true worshipers, they function another way. It is relative to their Father who's in heaven and the rewards that he then gives out. Now, it's interesting. In chapter 5, we have the reward twice. We have it 5 times in this chapter. Or, excuse me, I think we have it 7 times in this chapter. Yeah, 7 times in chapter 6. So people say, well, we shouldn't serve for rewards. Wait a minute. Jesus is the one who's teaching us about the kingdom, and he mentions reward 7 times. In this chapter, we have the word Father 15 times. Only 3 times in chapter 5. Chapter 6, 15 times he brings us before the Father. This would blow the mind of all of the people that were listening, any Jew, because no Jew ever lifted his head to heaven and said, Father. Not Moses, not Abraham, not Elijah, not Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, not David. They may have recognized that Jehovah was the Father nationally of the nation, but no individual worshiper ever lifted his head and said, Father. And Jesus is now bringing these people into a relationship that is staggering them. He uses the word hypocrite, I think, 18 times in the gospel. That's twice as many times as the rest of the Bible combined. And Matthew, being a publican, but Levi, probably raised in a religious system, is very sensitive to religious hypocrisy. So he says this, take heed, constantly be watching out for this. And that is, when you do alms, don't do it to be seen of men. Otherwise, you don't have a reward from your Father who's in heaven. But when you do, now he takes it for granted that you're going to do. As believers, we should give in different ways. But he says, when you do, check your attitude. Because some people aren't really giving, they're buying, they're purchasing. What they're doing is they're giving so that people can see them and pat them on the back, and they're buying themselves, you know, the approval of man in their giving. They give a certain way, or they let it be known. They're not really giving. They're purchasing. They're not really giving to the less fortunate. They're using the less fortunate. How many times do we see, even in the church, people who send out these letters begging, and they put the face of some poor kid or a kid in a wheelchair? Or, you know, I remember a number of years ago, they had, you know, here we are at the Great Wall of China and there's so many needs in China. Then it came out a few weeks later in a newspaper, they were standing in front of a mural in a photographic, you know, situation in Southern California. They weren't even in China. But here's what happens. Jesus understands that just because we're converted doesn't mean that our fallen nature is dead. The power of it is broken. We're not supposed to let it reign in our bodies, but we all have this traitor that lives within. And we all love attention. Some of you have had those babies. They carry on. They're in the wheelchair. They're in the high chair. Some of them, you know, end up there. But they're in the high chair. They're carrying on. And they're misbehaving. And you get the camera out and they go, you know, they're 1 year old and they already understand, you know. We love the attention. And there are those who play on that part of you that loves the attention. There are those who come into the church from Madison Avenue with their begging schemes. And this is, and you can give this way, and you give that way, and they post how much you give in the hallway of the church, so that other people can see it, and they embarrass you into giving. Or, who's going to stand up and pledge this or pledge that? That's not, Jesus is telling us something completely different. What about the guys, you see these guys sometimes, again, there's five people here tonight that are going to give $1,000. Stand up. And some poor guy's there saying, I can't believe I brought my income tax check with me. I knew I should have put it in the bank Friday. How'd the Lord know I had that $1,000 check in my pocket? And you're not going to get anything for that. And the people that stand up and say, I'll give $1,000. Here's the check. Wave your check. God never told anybody standing in a pulpit to say, there's five people here tonight that are going to give $1,000. Stand up. What Jesus said is when you give secretly, not like the hypocrites who love to be seen of men. Because if you stand up, if you're a sucker, and you stand up and wave your check, and everyone goes, man, wow, he's giving $1,000. That's all you're getting. That's your reward. That ain't worth it. Buy the tape. Get one of those cars that go boom, 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 shake the whole street and play it for everybody. Man, wow, he gave $1,000. Wow, go down the street. Because that's all you're going to get. Giving has to be part of us. If Christ is dwelling in our hearts, he gave his life, he gave everything. Giving is going to be part of what we do. There's a way to do it. There's a right way. And he says, constantly be on guard that when you give, even if it's before men, that it's not to be seen of them. Because there's something in us that loves to be stroked of our pride and of our ego. Praying. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Because they love, and he uses the word philia there, they're fond of. They really like it. It warms their heart to be able to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues. And not secretly. And throughout, the word secret means just that. It means private. It means personal. It means secret. And it's taken for granted that you and I have a personal, private relationship with the living God. And it's saying to us, Jesus is saying, we should find contentment there. If we are genuine believers, we should find contentment in our private relationship with the Lord. It's not condemning public prayer. If you go to a prayer meeting, you're going to be praying with other people, but it says, look out that you're not making, and some of us have gone to religious, things, and you hear somebody, O most heavenly Father, thou that makest heaven and earth, we bow before thee this day, knowing that through thy providence thou hast given to us all, My kids never talk to me like that. What does that have to do with praying? He's going to say, be not like unto them, because your Father, do you think my kids ever came to me and said, Oh, Father, we wantest chocolate chip cookies today. Givest thou to us of thine abundance. You raise kids. Can I have a cookie? 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 And if you ignore them, they'll go right on. Because they just turn it into a song. Give me a cookie, give me a cookie. And an hour and a half later, they're still doing the same thing. And they're doing it in faith because they know you're going to surrender at some point. But it's born out of relationship. Prayer, biblically, should be born out of relationship. Nobody taught your kids to say dada, mama, nummy. Well, you might. Parents start to act like they have a problem when they have kids. Nummy, nummy, nummy. They digress, start speaking in tongues. But prayer is communication with our fathers in heaven. It's the natural outgrowth of relationship. Again, one time when Joanna was little, I don't know, she was a year old. First one, we were very experienced parents. We had opinions about everything. And we were reading, you know, Dobson's, let them cry for 20 minutes at night. Let them cry. They'll get tired if you let them cry. If you run in, they'll stop. If you let them, you know, I'm trying to get some sleep. I was working construction, and she's, you know, and just, you know, let her scream. Let her scream. We get the 20 minutes, you know. So finally, I go in there, and I'm going to say, you know, this little head, it's in the dark. Looking at, I'm going to say, you lay down, and she goes, Dada. I said, oh, baby, what's wrong? Come on, you're going to come with me and Dada. We didn't teach her. She didn't have to rehearse that. Prayer is something that should happen in secret. I could never tell you what happens in my heart when I sit alone and say, Father. But we can be more excited about our public expression of spirituality than our private exercise and relationship. And Jesus warns. Says that shouldn't be happening. Fasting. There's a popular subject. We love to not eat. No, we don't. We're Christians. We're all about meeting and eating. Those are our favorite things. I can't fast, Pastor Joe. I have hypoglycemia. I'm diabetic. I understand. Then you can fast from arguing with your wife. Every Wednesday, no matter what happens, no matter what she does, I'm not going to argue with her. I'm fasting from arguing. I can't do that. I'm diabetic and on meds. No. You know, you can fast from television a day a week. Daniel fasted and just ate things grown and water. You know, the idea is some spiritual discipline that you might decide to exercise. And fasting is a lost art, no doubt. And fasting, if you do fast, it's not okay, Lord, I'm fasting until you say uncle. No, it's not a hunger strike that you're on, you know. I'm not eating until God gives, you know. We'll say goodbye now. But you know, it's saying, here I am, Lord. I'm setting aside my life. Do what you need to do in me, Lord. And I'm not doing this to be seen of men. A spiritual discipline. Father, I'm doing it before you. It's enough for me to know. The danger, as he gives us these illustrations, is that there's something in us that loves human approval. You can tell, because when somebody praises you for something, you know, you try to act humble and modest, but inside you're like somebody in a desert drinking water. Oh, really? You know, oh, pray for me, outwardly, you know. Or what about when somebody criticizes you, and outwardly you're trying to act real humble, and inside you're just seething. You're growing resentment, and you're saying, with a smile, I'd like to strangle you, you know. Because what men think is so important to us. What he's saying here in the kingdom, what God thinks is preeminent. That should be above everything else. The remedy, he says, is knowing that your Father, and when he says thy Father, it's singular. Your Father, as individuals, is watching privately, secretly. And nothing is done in vain. Well, only the things we do for Christ are going to last. And there are rewards. Hypocrisy is insecure. Hypocrisy needs to be seen of men. In fact, it is the opinion of men that fuels hypocrisy. Acting one way, but being another way. Before the New Testament, the word hypocrisy did not have a negative connotation. It was from the Greek theaters, the Hippocrates, and it was those who put on the mask. You've seen in the theater that one mask where there's a smile, the other mask where there's a frown. That was the Hippocrates putting on the mask. And the idea is you put on the mask and you were different outwardly than you really were inwardly. Like that, there was that movie out with that, you know, mask. Who was in that movie? Who? I heard you. What were you doing out seeing that movie? I was thinking of the Ten Commandments. I wasn't thinking about that movie. We'll talk afterwards, but you know, okay. Even his dog was a hypocrite when he put that mask on. The idea is you put the mask on, you're somebody different than you normally are. And he says people are like that in giving and praying and fasting. Shouldn't be. This is a relational thing. In fact, he says, when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites who think they're going to be heard for their much repetition. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You know, there are prayers where there's constant repetition. He said, that's not the issue. And sadly, we've taken the Lord's Prayer. Now, this is the Lord's Prayer not because the Lord prayed this prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer because this is the prayer he gave us to instruct us about prayer. And we've made it a senseless repetition. Everyone in this room can go, Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, the will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those. You know, I went to a funeral a while ago with my wife, and they must have done it 10 times through the funeral. Let's say the Our Father, you know. And all they kept saying it over and over and over and over again. I'm thinking, would somebody please pray? Because it becomes a senseless repetition. Jesus says, but when you pray, pray after this manner. He doesn't say, memorize this. He doesn't say these words, because the Jews had prayers for weddings, prayer for death, prayer for certain feasts, prayers for the morning. It would become a senseless repetition. The only time the disciples came to Jesus and asked Jesus to teach them something was in Luke 11. They came to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach us how to pray. They knew how to pray. Literally, it says, teach us to be praying. We watch you and you go alone early. We see you pouring out your heart to the Father. Your prayers are not memorized or rehearsed. Teach us to be praying individuals. They never said, teach us that walk on a water thing is really cool. Will you teach us how to do that? Teach us how, you know, teach us the loaves and the fishes. We could feed our kids for the rest of our lives if we could do that. The only thing they came to him and they said, teach us to be praying. And he resolved this. When you do, pray after this manner. This is how we begin. Now, by the way, let me say this too. Interesting, because Jesus is giving us throughout here the heart of the law. You have heard it had been said of old, but it's not just don't commit adultery, it's don't lust. Not just commit murder, it's don't be angry. He's revealing the heart of the law. So here's very interesting. In the law, in the center of the law, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus says, just say Our Father. The law says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of anything above the earth, on the earth, under the earth, to bow down before it. Jesus says, just say, who art in heaven. The law said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Jesus said, just say, hallowed be thy name. The law said, you should remember the Sabbath day, that ultimate rest will come. Keep it holy. The law just said, thy kingdom come. The law said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is what's right. It's the first commandment with a promise that you might live long upon the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Teach your children to live according to my commandments. Thou shalt not steal, give us this day our daily bread. Thou shalt not murder, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Thou shalt not commit adultery, deliver us from temptation. Thou shalt not bear false witness, deliver us from the evil one, the accuser of the brethren. Thou shalt not covet, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. You know, the heart of the law is right there. So he's saying when you pray, these are things that should be ingredients. It's not a formula. Our Father, that's corporate. Our. He says, thy father through here, singular, but he says, one thing about praying is if you're not right on the horizontal with others, if you haven't forgiven men their trespasses, how do you come? The first part of it is our father. It's a family prayer. We're all in this together. We're brothers and sisters. Our father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your name. Says God's given him the name, which is above every name. His name is holy. It should bother you at work when somebody uses the name of the Lord in vain. You know, why don't they ever smash their hand and go, Hare Krishna? I never heard anybody do that. Spill their coffee in their lap, oh, Buddha. You know, does anybody ever do that? Why do they always pick on our Lord? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll tell you, when you go home, watch the news today. Look at what's going on in this world. There's a day coming, it says, when he comes and sets up his kingdom, they're going to beat every spear into a pruning hook, every sword into a plowshare, and nation will no longer rise up against nation. Neither will they learn war anymore. And the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His name, his kingdom, his will, and then personal petition. People say it's not right to ask. Oh, yes, it is. Give us this day our daily bread. He taught us. That should be part of our prayers. Cast all your cares upon him. Our daily sustenance. It doesn't mean a whole lot to us here because we go, we buy extra bread, we put it in the freezer. Oh, there's a storm coming. The power might go out. Everybody loads up on everything. This was a culture where give us today our daily bread. You know, you have to harvest it. You have to grind it. You have to separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And there's a beautiful sense to it. It's like, give us enough for today so we're dependent on you again tomorrow. Like the manna. Sustain us today, Lord. And he's going to say, don't take anxious thought for tomorrow. It makes us live in the day with him. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That gets stuck in your throat a little bit when you say that. Bring somebody's face up in your mind right now that you would just like to, you wish this verse was not in here. Is it saying, if we don't forgive people, we're going to hell? Is that what it's saying? Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. No, I don't believe it's saying that because we're saved by accepting the atonement of Christ by faith, repenting of our sins, believing he died for us on the cross. We're talking about fellowship here with the Father. When you pray, don't praise it, but when you do, say, our Father, forgive us. Give us our daily. There's a us here. And the point is, how can you go and expect open fellowship with the Father, expect him to be forgiving towards you when you are bitter and unforgiving to those? Don't come around. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Am I saying it's easy? I am not saying it's easy. Because people hurt our feelings. And there's a part in us that he's addressing that is so consumed with what people think. Forgive us our trespass. What's a trespass? A trespass is somebody draws a line and says, don't step across that. And when you and I get offended, it's because somebody stepped across the line in our life. We drew it. And you see, he reiterates that down in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, you know, you draw a line and say, don't step across that. Somebody steps across it. That's a trespass. They hurt you, and you determine you're going to be bitter for the rest of your life. Meantime, you go, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm such a knucklehead. Like you deserve more. No, he's saying, if we really understand, Father, if we really can come in front of him, you know, it amazes me because when I get alone with him, I don't say boss. Well, I'm a pastor, you know. You see me on boss. He didn't hire me. He gave birth to me. I'm his son. That's way higher than being his pastor. Father. And that's through the blood of Christ. And I'm still amazed that he shed it for me. Why? How can I begrudge forgiveness to someone else? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. What is that? Because James tells us that God is not tempted, neither tempteth he any man. And yet Paul tells us, here's the armor you put on to face temptation. It says Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. There is temptation. There are trials sometimes that God allows. Does he solicit us to evil? No. Does he allow trials in our lives sometimes? Yes. But he says here that we can come to him and say, Father, I don't do well in those circumstances. Please don't put me in a pressure cooker. Please, Father, be merciful. Let me take the correspondence course on this one. And deliver us from the evil one. The evil one. Oh, there's a whole theology in the church today. You know, the devil gets way more press in the church than he gets in the Bible. We can go to our dad and say, Dad, you know who's been picking on me? And hear him say, I'll handle this. Because our dad can beat their dad, you know. Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The warning. Take heed constantly. Because there are stakes. There are eternal rewards that you can forfeit if you do things the wrong way. There is a genuine way to manifest your worship in giving, in praying, in spiritual sacrifice. And sometimes that's in front of people. The temptation is, don't let it be the reason you don't do it. Don't let it be to be seen of men. It may be in front of them, but don't let that be why you're doing it. Because hypocrisy is insecure, and hypocrisy needs the approval of men. That's why hypocrisy will sin and then put on the mask like it's not sinning, because it needs the approval of men. Hypocrisy is insecure because hypocrisy does not know the Father who's in heaven. 10 times in our verses here this morning, your Father. If you know your Father, that's a family relationship. If you know your Father, you can fail there, you can succeed there, you can be honest there, you can give because of that relationship, you go there to talk to him in prayer. The believer has a Father. The hypocrite is worried about men. But there's enough hypocrite in every one of us that Jesus realized he needed to warn us. There's enough of that tendency in each one of us. Let's stand. Let's pray. The pastors and the elders will be up front after the service. If you're here today and you think, you know what, I don't want phony religion. I've seen enough of that. If this is real, if I can know God, if I can call my Father, if he can forgive my sins, then I want that. Please make your way down here when the service is over. We'd love to pray with you, give you a Bible, some literature to read. If you can really say, you know what, I don't want to play phony religious games. I don't want to play church. But if there's eternal rewards, if there's eternity, I don't want to be in hell forever when I die in outer darkness. If this is all real, I want to know I'm forgiven so that I can close my eyes in this world in peace. And know when I close my eyes in this world, I'm going to open them in the next with my Father. If you don't know that, you don't know the blood of Christ has cleansed you. Not religion, relationship. Then when the service is over, please make your way up. We'd love to give you a Bible, some literature. We don't want your address or your phone number or anything. You just come. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to gather to seek you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your honesty, Lord. Thank you for dissecting us in front of ourselves, Lord. Your word is truly like a mirror, Lord. A looking glass where we can behold what manner of men and women that we are. And Lord, thank you for, Lord, your love, your grace, your openness, Lord, that you've begun a good work in us and that you're going to continue it. We thank you for that incredible hope you've given us. And Lord, this week, wherever we go, whatever we do, let us be content with your notice, your approval, your voice, your love. Let it weigh more, Father. Let it weigh more than anything man could ever offer us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.